Tim, thank you, Tim. Good seeing you all here this morning. You know that I was saying in the first service, that mountain out there, the Bible says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Gary, where's Gary? Oh, yeah. We didn't try that. Kiddos, go that way. We thought maybe should have tried, but it did move, you know, and I think that's kind of an image of life. You know, we say, oh, the Bible says, you know, God's going to do miracles, and sometimes those miracles come through hard work. Amen? It's not always just the snap of a finger or just a quick prayer, but yeah, it's great. We didn't work yesterday. We worked Friday because yesterday was the event. So I came this morning with a sermon. That I'm not going to preach. So I knew this would happen. But, you know, I just want to be faithful and I want to do what God has put on my heart. So I was preparing this week and I'm really excited about that message. And hopefully maybe I'll share it with you next week. It was the one that is mentioned in the bulletin. It's called Seeing with the Eyes of the Spirit, which I think is something that's so important and so critical in this time that we're living. It's always critical. But especially in this time that we're living in. But I knew that between all that took place this week, and if you're a visitor, you know all we're talking about, there was, as Tim already referenced, there was a large event down in Washington, D.C. called The Return. It was, by scriptural definition, it was a sacred assembly. And I preached about that a couple of weeks, two or three weeks ago. You know, I took the month of September and I just focused on these themes because I kind of latched on to this event because I really felt it really bore witness in my spirit and in my heart that this was something that was really of God, that we, and you've heard me say this again, if you're here and this is the first time you're here or a visitor, you haven't, but if you've been here for a while, you're like, oh, here it goes again. You know, our nation is at a tipping point. It is at a tipping point. And, you know, I just, where it goes, I believe I know in my heart what God wants to do, but it is up to the church. I hope that is gotten down into your spirit. I know we can watch the news and we can look and we can get mad at this one and that one and upset about all this and that. And I understand all that, but the church is the vehicle that God will use to bring about transformation in our nation and in our land. So when I first heard, you know, Jonathan Cahn, I've known of him. I've read some of his stuff over the years. He's a Messianic Jewish rabbi, you know, came to know Jesus, Yeshua, many, many years ago. And he's just been a cutting edge sort of guy who just, I really think, is hearing from the Lord. So when I heard he was doing this and he and some others were putting together this event in D.C., I just kind of latched onto it. Packed, you know, I talked to the other pastors here in the community and we embraced that. And so again, it was in Washington, D.C. And I was kind of heartbroken. I was over at Oak Orchard Assembly yesterday and I'm watching the simulcast and there's a couple technical glitches, which are kind of to be expected and something like that. But overall, you know, that didn't really distract from it. But I saw all those people on the mall as Tim was talking. And I was like, oh, I wish I could be there, you know, and you know, Jonathan Cahn made the comment. He says, thank you for all those who came, you know, because, you know, it's dangerous, right, in this time that we're living in and all that. But the mall was packed with people just there and just, you know, they there because of what God has put in our hearts as a church, that we have got to repent. We have got to come back. We have got to return to God with all of our heart. And so it was a phenomenal thing. So I just sense that probably there was going to be some things that God would speak to my heart yesterday, you know, through that event. And as well, you know, we did a week of prayer here leading up to it early in the morning, 6 to 8 every morning, Monday through Friday. And I brought it up. You know, these are things, you know, I've just been, you know, throughout the week as I was just in prayer and, you know, here. And then yesterday there was so much. And I just, I'm a person and I say this and I just encourage you, you know, if you're spending some time in prayer, get out of, I usually do it on my tablet, but it was just easier just to write stuff and just things that just felt like God was saying, you know, through speakers, sometimes just speaking to my own heart. I mean, there's all kinds of things in here. It's not everything, you know, God said this, God said that, or whatever, but there's a lot of things I really felt impressed of the Lord. And so all that happened. So I get home last night, and praise the Lord, we had four of our grandchildren staying overnight, and so it was kind of a busy night, but, you know, thank you, Lori. You know, she does most of the stuff with them, and I just sat and just worked on, you know, just trying to process my thoughts about what I felt the Lord had said through that event yesterday and through all the amazing speakers. And so I just want to share some of that with you today. So it's, you know, hot off the press. I shared it in the first service. You know, and here's the thing. You know, yesterday did not disappoint. Amen? Yesterday did not disappoint. I know, I'm just saying, I know there's others there, but you were there all day, right? Were you disappointed yesterday? It was amazing. It was just amazing. And those that watched it online or whatever, it was amazing. And, you know, I try as a pastor, and this is, you got to understand the mindset of a pastor, and we are guilty sometimes of overhyping things, right? And I get that, and I try to be careful not to do that. And I, you know, it's like every meeting, every class, every event is like the most amazing thing in the world, you know? And it, you know, to a degree, I mean, if we believe God's with us, you know, that shouldn't be a stretch, but I know sometimes you can get fatigue over that, you know. That gotta be here, gotta be there, or whatever, you know. But I tried over the last couple of months, you know, to say, hey, this is something. This is a priority. Yes, thank you. And I really felt like it was a God appointment. I felt like God was once again, or I should say, is present tense, extending His hand of mercy and giving us another opportunity to return to Him with all of our hearts. It says in, where is it? Rend your hearts and not your garments. Is that in, it's in Joel, right? Help me, Tim. It's in Joel chapter 2. Rend your hearts, not your garments. You know, like the Jews, that was part of their thing. If they were outraged about something, or they ripped their clothes, and God says, rend your heart, not your garments. So, I really feel it was a God appointment, God extending His hand of mercy and giving us another chance. So thank you. Thank you. If you took even a few minutes this week, you know, and came, I know some came this week during prayer in the morning, came in for a few minutes on their way to work and stuff. Thank you. For those that prayed on their own and made an effort, you know, to think about this and pray about this and make it a priority. For those that came and watched the simulcast yesterday, for those that watched it at home on their phone or their computer or their tablet or whatever, thank you to all who have embraced my constant badgering, you know, that this is a season where God is calling His church and giving us yet another, I know I just said this, but giving us another opportunity to return to Him and find that His mercy has been extended to us. We can't continue to think that it will last forever. As I said before in weeks prior, there are times when there are nations and empires that are in the dustbin of history. But thank you. Thank you, thank you to all those that embraced it. What I want to say now is hard work, okay? Permission to say this for permission to speak freely, sir. I hope this doesn't apply to anybody. All right, I really do. But I just feel to say it because I just don't know. To those, and again, if you're a visitor or you know, just kind of, whatever. I'm not talking to you, but to those that listen to me, to those who feel that this is your church home and that I am your pastor, if you hear me expressing what I believe is God's heart, I do the best I can. You know, I'm fallible. I won't say it, but I'm not perfect and all that. But if you don't think that God can speak to me, why are you here? right? Why are you here? So this can't just be an exercise that we do, right? Please, please, if you're hearing and this doesn't move the needle in your heart, then you've got to ask, what are we doing here? What are you doing here? Why, you know, over the month of September, you know, I emphasize that, okay, as we go into September, because this is coming up at the end of the month, I'm going to talk. So I talked about personal revival, I think the first Sunday of September. How well do you know Jesus? It's not just enough to say, I know the Lord. How well do you know him? We know people in all different levels. You know, oh, I know so-and-so. And sometimes I feel like Christians are saying that about God. Oh, yeah, I know him. I know him. No, how well do you know him? How well do you know him? So I talked about that first week, the first Sunday, the second Sunday. I talked about the sacred assembly, which again, yesterday it was a sacred assembly. It wasn't a worship. It wasn't a concert. It wasn't a, you know, a conference or a seminar. It was a sacred assembly for the church to humble themselves before God and say, Lord, forgive us. And I talked about that. Last week I talked about, I called it the message last week, the first word of the gospel. The first word of the gospel, repentance. John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus starts his ministry. He says the exact same words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I went through the scriptures. You know, we were outside. We had a great week, great Sunday last time outside in our picnic and everything. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If none of those things move the needle in your life, I don't know your heart. But I live with the hope that you are truly sold out to Jesus and that he is the center of your life. I live with the hope that you pay attention to his word, that what he says and the burden of his heart is of utmost importance to you. I live with the hope that you pay attention to his words. But sometimes I wonder. I live with the hope that you believe that God will even use a cracked pot like me to speak to you. And again, I'm not trying to lift myself up, but if none of those things move the needle in your heart, something's wrong. So again, just take that. I'll just leave it, all right? I'll come down off that and just leave it. I love the church. I love you. I am believing for great things for all of us. But we have to take seriously the call of God upon us to come to him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to give ourselves fully and completely to him. When God is speaking to his church, these things are not suggestions. God does not give suggestions. Right? When he speaks, we better respond. To all the Marthas, these are going to be a little bit random. I won't be long. These are just kind of just thoughts. Because again, last night I was like, I was taking all of this and trying to process it in my head. So I had four or five things. I just, okay, I'm going to talk about these tomorrow. Really felt impressed. To all the Marthas here. You know what I mean. Some of you do, some of you don't. If you don't know what I mean, there's the story where Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha, two sisters, and Martha, she's the quintessential, there's a lot of work that's got to be done. We got guests coming over, right, ladies? You know what I'm talking about. We got guests coming over, got to have the house clean, got to get the food ready and everything like that. And there's her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And Martha got upset, right? And she said, Lord, will you please tell my sister to help me? You know, and Jesus said, no. She picked the better thing. Figures a man would say that, right? But so I say to all the Marthas here, and that's for men and women. All right, it's not just women, men and women. To those who serve diligently. No amount of service to the king can ever substitute for time in the king's presence. That was something that I heard yesterday. I can't say that the Lord just dropped that in. I heard somebody say that. There's something there, some reasonable facsimile thereof. No amount of service to the king can substitute for time in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is healing. In his presence is eternal life. There is no substitution for that nowhere else. The theme again, just talk about repentance again, you know, again and again and again and again. I hear it from pastor after pastor, from leader after leader. God is saying this to the church. Not like it should be anything new to us. But sometimes, you know, just God just emphasizes things. He just emphasizes things. Repentance is deeper than you think. And I say that to my own, to myself too. It is deeper than you think. It is not just saying, gee, Lord, I'm sorry for kind of maybe some of those things. Maybe I did, you know, I'm sorry. Repentance, don't you kind of get upset with that person who just says to you, gee, I'm sorry if there's ever anything that I ever said that hurt you or offend you. I'm sorry. No, you better be specific, right? If you know there's something, then be specific. Repentance is specific. Repentance is brutal. It is personal. It is uncompromising. Don't just say, God, just, you know, forgive me, you know, for any, you know, just, I'm sorry if there's anything I've ever done, you know, right? In the last 5 seconds, right? So, you know, we got to take it very seriously. It's deeper than we think. Let me say it this way. You can't repent and at the same time defend yourself. That's not repentance. Well, I'm sorry, but that person had it coming. That ain't repentance. If you're trying to defend yourself and justify yourself, you are not repenting before the Lord. It's just that simple. I heard somebody say yesterday, there is a kind of repentance that needs to be repented of. Are we carrying the heart of God in us? If we're carrying the heart of God, then everything will be cool. We'll be good. I mean, not that it'll be easy, but it'll be good. Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, right? What a stately man. You know, I mean, there was probably, I don't want to exaggerate, I mean, there's certainly dozens, if not over 100, you know, of there's so many people that came and shared. And, you know, a couple like Jonathan Kahn and the co-chair, Kevin Jespin, others, you know, had some lengthier times. But most of the people, even, you know, I mean, people who, you know, are significant leaders in the body. So Dr. Dobson, he's not there at the mall, but it's a pre-recorded thing. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I just felt like, there's grandpa, there's dad. You know, I just felt like when I saw him on the screen, it was, oh, what a great man. And he said, I got so much I want to say, but I've only got 7 minutes, right, to say it. And this way, you know, when you're doing something like that, you know, if you saw from the other angle, from like the speaker's angle, you saw the clock down on the bottom, you know, 6 minutes and 34 seconds, and it's counting down. You know, every person that was at that podium had a very short amount of time, you know, to share what they shared. So his was a pre-recorded thing. And he said something. He said a lot. But in his 7 minutes, he said something about Ezra. And how Ezra was grieved about the heart, or he was grieved in his heart about the nation. And I'm not sure if he said it or if I just remembered it. I can't remember exactly the words he used, but I went and I looked it up. There is a scripture, it's in Ezra 9:3. I looked it up last night. Ezra heard what was happening in the nation as he understood what was happening. It says this. He says, when he heard this thing, first person. When I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe, and I plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard, and sat there astonished. I don't know why. I've read that who knows how many times, you know, in my life. But it just really hit me. What? You know, I was trying to, my beard's not quite that long, but I'm like, whoa, are you kidding me? You know, yanking your hair out and pulling the hair of your beard out. I mean, that's having a heart that's that's broken for what's going on. It just kind of like really blew me away. I haven't pulled any of my hair out. Let's talk about America just for a couple minutes. There is so much about our nation's founding that is rooted in God. Amen? I don't care how many colleges or how many progressives try to make us loathe this horrible and despicable nation. All right? I don't care. Yeah, no apologies. Nobody's saying we're perfect. We all get that, right? We learn from our history. We move on and all, and we continue to try to get better, although that's a little shaky right now. They made quite an emphasis yesterday about the fact that 400 years ago, as we speak, the Mayflower was sailing across, right, 1620. Landed in November, I think, but it was, but we know it was 1620. And it came across the ocean, and they talked yesterday about the Mayflower Compact, this covenant with God. This nation would be dedicated to him. And we are, and this was a quote from yesterday, we have become a nation that is at war with our foundation. How long can a nation stand? A nation, and when your foundation is godly, we are a nation at war with our foundation. Think about that. Jonathan Kahn said this, and I wrote it down. He said, the process, I would call this, I don't know if he used the exact term, this is the process of apostasy. Apostasy, if you don't know the word, is a turning away or a departing from God. That's what apostasy means. He said, it goes like this. It starts with a drift, and then it goes to departure, and then it goes to war with God. Think about that. Drifting away, subtle, maybe not real noticeable. Then there's more of a radical departure. And then eventually it's war with God. That is the pattern of apostasy. That is the pattern of turning away. And we feel justified because we aren't where they are. You know, well, we're not at war with God, right? We're not at war with God, but are we drifting? Because if we're drifting and we don't do something about that, man, you know, God has a standard. You know, his standard doesn't fluctuate with, you know, the winds of change in our culture. If we're departing from his ways, whether as a nation or especially as a church, we've got to repent of that. We have profaned the sacred and sanctified the profane. I heard that, I think, or something like that yesterday. We call, and we know the scripture in Isaiah, we call evil good and we call good evil. I looked up the scripture last night, because it came to me and I jotted it down. I didn't know where it was. It's Luke 17:27. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Just oblivious. Oblivious. How many are oblivious? I hope not in the church, but so many are oblivious to what is happening. And someone said yesterday, I want you to think about this, no demon can be released in America that doesn't first come through the church. Wow. You know, I had to take a step back when I heard that, you know. No demon can affect this nation that doesn't first come through the church. And so I was thinking, I used an example in the first service, and I'm not sure I did a good job with it, so I'm going to use a different one. This came to me at the end of the first service. You turn on the television and you see blind rage and mindless hatred, right? To some degree, right? Where does that come from? You know, you say, well, you know, you can come up with all kinds of answers. But if we're harboring things in our heart toward others, attitudes, maybe it's not blind rage and mindless hatred or however I just said that, but, you know, our attitudes need a little adjustment. It can't happen out there unless the church, we're the gatekeepers. We're the gatekeepers of our culture. So we better be walking right before God. I hope you understand that. I'm still not sure I'm communicating that well. Okay, let me try to finish up here real quick. Almost done. Our nation can choose to return in repentance, which leads to revival, or we can choose judgment, which leads to calamity. Last week, these are the last couple of things. We're going to close, Matt, you know, in a second. I want to just close with a song, just 3 minutes, but it'll take me just a couple minutes to get there. Last week at morning prayer, you know, this special time of prayer we had, I noticed, because I got the itinerary for yesterday's D.C. event, and I was looking down through the list of names, and I saw Ben Carson's name. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I thought, that's good. He's part of the administration. Let's see, Secretary of Housing, Urban Development, I think, or whatever. So that's good, because anytime you have leadership of the nation involved at different levels, you know, I think that's a good thing. And so that's cool. But I prayed, you might remember, Diane, I prayed that, because I know you're here, what I was praying, that others from this administration specifically would you know, participate in some way. Because that is significant. You can argue policies, you can dislike personalities, whatever. But it's significant with the leadership of our nation and how they posture themselves in relationship to the gospel. And so I remembered as I was praying that prayer, the transformation videos that some of you might remember from years ago when George Otis Jr. was going around the world and making documentaries on different nations, and mostly it was cities. But I remember Uganda. And they had this huge concert of prayer in a big stadium with tens of thousands of people there. And the president of Uganda stood up and said, I dedicate this country to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just, you know, nice words. There's something in the spirit that happens when that happens. So yesterday, and if you were watching, you know what happened. Jonathan Kahn came out, it was around noontime. And he came out with a piece of paper, and he read the following. He said, on this inaugural National Day of Prayer and Return, the First Lady and I join millions of Christians here in the United States and around the world in prayer as we turn our hearts to our Lord and Savior. Our great nation was founded by men and women of deep and abiding faith, a faith that has stood the test of time. 400 years ago, early American settlers trusted their lives to His providence and braved a voyage to a new world. From the pilgrims who sought His protection aboard the Mayflower to the countless believers who today bow their heads to ask for His guidance during these unprecedented times, our country continues to turn to the Lord. Following in our ancestors' footsteps, we continue the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence that provides us enduring strength and reassurance in our times of need. The trials and tribulations the American people have faced over the past several months have been great. Yet as we have seen time and again, the resolve of our citizenry, I have a hard time with that word, fortified by our faith in God, has guided us through these hardships and helped to unite us as one nation under God. As we continue to combat the challenges ahead of us, we must remember the sage words of President George Washington during his first presidential address. Propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. As a country and a people, let us renew our commitment to these abiding and timeless principles. Today, I am pleased to join my voice to yours in thanking God for blessing this nation with great power and responsibility. With reverence, humility, and thanksgiving, we beg for His continued guidance and protection. We can debate policy. We can dislike personality. But as I listened, all right, so here I go, stepping off, right? As I listened to that yesterday, I tried to imagine Joe Biden saying that. as I listened to, there was a clip yesterday when they were in the abortion part of the repentance. I mean, how can you, that was so central. That was so central. And I saw Mike Pence, a clip of him at the March for Life in D.C. talking about the sanctity of human life and the unborn. And I tried to imagine Kamala Harris giving that same speech. You say, Pastor, are you supposed to say that? I don't know. Think about that. Just think about those things as we enter into this, or not enter into, as we move forward in this election season. So let me close, and I just want to say this one thing, and Matt will play the song. Our responsibility is to not only return and repent for our sins, but to make a fresh commitment to reach those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So yesterday, it's hard, there were some hard things said yesterday, but I felt like I was in heaven, I felt like it was a slice of heaven. It was just such a wonderful time. I was there from 9 till 5:30 or whatever, and because I just blocked out the day, and I came home, for the evening. But I thought, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus came back right now? I thought, man. But then I this is what I saw in my mind's eye. I saw myself ascending through the clouds, and regret filled my heart because of all those that I had not reached for the gospel. And anyway, none of us are going to do it all and whatever. But I just felt a burden in my heart, a fresh burden in my heart to reach people for Jesus. So Friday morning, I'm on my way up here, 5:30 in the morning. And so I'm backing out of the driveway in my truck, and the K-Love's playing on the radio, and I hear this song. And I'd never heard this song before. Has anybody heard this song? Well, because I should. A couple of us. And I thought, this is it. This is it. And so I thought, what better way to end? So 3 minutes, and then we'll pray. Go ahead. Make it nice and loud. Kim.
We want our coffee in the lobby. We watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket. We keep our missions overseas. But for the hurting in our city, would we even cross the street? But we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see the change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. Lord, start right here. Lord, start right I'm like the brother of the prodigal who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead. What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers and walked a mile in someone's shoes? Cause we wanna see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we wanna see the change in the world out there, it's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord start right here. Right now. We're the people who are called by his name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We're the people who are called by His name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord started right here. The Lord started right now. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord started right here. The Lord started right now.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. You know, in the first service, Alex was at the board, and Alex does a great job. He's young, and he's really timid with the sound. And so I was like, come on, Alex, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. And I forgot Doug was back there today. I said, come on, Doug, loud. And Doug didn't disappoint, right? So I got to be careful who I'm, I got to know who's back there, right? But man, I'm driving to up here on Friday, I'm thinking, oh my Lord, this is the message to the church. God, in the name of Jesus, the church on Sunday would be the church on Monday and throughout the week, God. Work in our hearts, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for every person here. You know, I shared a word, kind of a prophetic word in the middle portion of the, I did the middle portion of the first service because Tim was next door teaching his class, and it was a word about not being on the fringe, not being riding the fence, you know, sitting on the fence or straddling the fence. That's a dangerous place to be, and I just want to pray right now and encourage. If you're in any way a fence sitter when it comes to Jesus, you know, you got your little religion thing, you know, you do or whatever, and you give God that little hour on Sunday sometimes, if nothing else is in the way. I tell you what, if you're on the edge, if you're on the fringe, you're going to get picked off. Don't think it can't happen to you. You will get picked off because you're an easy target for the devil. And if you're at a place today where you know maybe that word is for you, pray the words of that song, this message, and just that exhortation that you go all in for Jesus. Just go all in for Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, please open your heart right now to Him. And just come into the arms of a loving Father who is already, He's already done it for you. He doesn't have to examine, you know, your list of transgressions and see if somehow, you know, you can, you know, get in just under the wire. He's already done it. And He is, you know, some people have made reference to the crucifixion and his hands spread out on the cross. You know, his arms are open to us, to each and every one of us. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never experienced new life in Christ, if you have never experienced forgiveness of sin, or if you have walked away from Him, that you would come home to your loving Father and Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, Jesus, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. You don't need to fix everything first. You just need to be willing to let Him do it, all right? You know, years and years and years ago, I think Sharon Sugar was involved, King's Court Company. It was a drama group in Brockport, our church in Brockport, and maybe some others. Oh, Ken, of course, was. Is he still here? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. And they did a little skit. I only saw it once. I don't know why you guys didn't. Maybe you did it more. But it was a person say, you know, the plumber's coming. I got to fix my plumbing. You know? I'm going to the hairdresser, so I got to get my hair all fixed up. You know, it's like, you know, the whole point, I can't remember if you remember it, you know. And it was like, no, 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 no. You can't fix it all first, right? You just got to be willing. So I just, if that's you, you know, just come to him. Just say yes to him and tell somebody. I'd love to hear, you know, that I'm all in for Jesus. So I, Lord, I just pray for these folks. Bless and be with them. I pray we just take the words of that song out the door and live it out this week. Let it start right here. Let it start with us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's go out, make a mark for Jesus in this world. You're dismissed.